This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
And again, welcome to KBOO, both listeners and our many guests that are in studio. We're going to have a full house with three of us in the studio and multiple phone guests to join us. They've all come together as participants in a wonderful multidisciplinary exhibit with a great kickoff event opening reception called Particles on the Wall, hosted at the EcoTrust Building Friday, May 3rd from 6 till 8 p.m. It's put on by the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibilities. Now, I know that that's a lot to remember so far, so be assured that we will give you that important information often through the next hour. But first, let's say hi to our guests, and we can talk about all of the moving parts of this exhibit next. So first, we have Maxine Fuchsam, who's a pediatric nurse practitioner, a member of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility Peace Work Group, involved for many years in issues related to child health and peace and justice. You are an organizer of the Particles on the Wall exhibit in Portland, and you were a judge for this year's peace writing contest.
That's right. This has been just an exciting time for Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, Oregon PSR, who is sponsoring this exhibit that's coming to Portland, as you mentioned, with our opening reception May 3rd. And the exhibit's running at the EcoTrust Building through June 14th. So lots of time for the public to see it. It's a public exhibit. And it's one of the many projects of Oregon PSR. Our peace work group has been primarily involved with bringing this exhibit, which was created in Seattle. And I understand we're going to have one of the creators and curators of the exam on the phone with us, Steve Gilbert. And it's should I take a minute now and talk about
The exhibit? Certainly, but yes, that'd be fine. And I want to welcome Twyla McCall-Hay, who's also sitting right here. And we will talk about her. She's the first place winner of the Greenfield Peace Writing Contest, of which Maxine is speaking. And she's an 18-year-old senior at Grant High School in Portland, also a dance at Jefferson with the Jefferson Dancers, of which I was around for the inception, and it's a wonderful group. And she'll talk a little more about that as well as her involvement in this. But yes, Maxine, give us some background about, well, first of all, you and how you came to it, and then Physicians for Social Responsibility, and then we'll get to the exhibit. And then we'll include Stephen, who I think is on the phone, is he not? Well, he will be shortly.
Sure, great.
Okay.
Hi, Steve.
I don't think he can hear us, so.
Oh, I can hear you.
Oh, there we are, but we couldn't hear him. All right. Well, not a problem. I want to as well, like I said, this is going to be a lot of moving parts, but that's what the event is all about, a lot of moving parts. But I want to welcome Stephen Gilbert, who's a PhD president of the board of PSR. In Washington and a board member nationally. Steve is a toxicologist with extensive research in neurological effects of environmental toxins, and he's developed and maintains extensive websites with the mission of connecting science and people, all with the goal of creating a more healthy and peaceful world. He's the co-founder and one of the curators of Particles on the Wall and was also a judge at this year's Peace Writing Contest. So welcome, Steve.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
All right. We really appreciate it, Stephen. All right, Maxine, so give us again, we'll start with you, some of your particular involvement in this, and then we can move to Twyla. And any time, Stephen, if you want to, you can also add anything you have to it.
Okay, thank you.
Well, just to lay the context for the exhibit, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility is the local chapter of an international group that's physicians, other healthcare workers, and others who for many years have been active in peace issues and specifically in preventing war and preventing the proliferation of nuclear weapons and the degradation of our environment. And so it's been a very important international, national movement, and we have a very active local chapter. And so for our annual event this year, Oregon PSR decided that we would bring to Portland Particles on the Wall. And this is the first time, I think Steve helped me make sure I'm correct, but I think it's the first time that the exhibits left Washington State where it was developed. And I think it's such an important exhibit for our entire region. Obviously, Hanford is in Washington, but has amazing impact all over the region, and we feel that it's such an important piece of the work that we're doing. It relates to nuclear weapons production, which was Hanford's reason for being, and
the waste, environmental,
exactly. And it's back in the news now with leaky tanks and just an awful fiasco with the cleanup, and the impact is incredible. Hence, the exhibit's very timely.
Now, let me interrupt here. And Stephen, this might be a good part for you to tell us a little bit about some of the people that were involved in the initial Particles on the Wall, Sherman Alexie, some other authors and people of note that you might want to reference and give us a little short background.
All right, I'd be happy to do that. Particles on the Wall actually started in 2009 in a happy hour occasion amongst friends. Our goal was to try to unite the sciences and the arts. So we felt that people connect these events differently, and we wanted to bring in the science and the arts so the science can help explain the art and the art can help explain the science. And we're all working on issues related to Hanford. And Hanford produced about two-thirds of the plutonium that is now in many of the weapons that sit up, for example, in Bangor submarine base. But the curators of this was Nancy Dickman, who is a poet, and Diane Dickman, who's a visual artist, and Bill Withrop, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago, but he was a very noted Northwest poet that grew up in Hanford. And both Nancy and Diane also grew up in Hanford. So we have a lot of connections.
Hence the name.
With Hanford. And Richland, actually, is where they grew up, is Richland.
And hence the name from one of your first contributors.
Right.
Particles on the Wall.
Particles on the Wall. Yeah, we came up with that name, and it has many meanings, as you can explore. And we really tried to bring together and allow people to express themselves, because it's a very complicated, Hanford's very complicated in what it did to the environment, what it did to the people in the area. And we were searching for a way to help people talk about this and explore their feelings and also explore some of the science behind the radiation.
Yes.
So we've had a lot of fun with this. It was first produced in 2010 here in Seattle, and we've had it a number of other places throughout Washington State in the last few years.
And now we're lucky enough to have it going to...
Yeah, it's very exciting to see what they're doing with it. OPSR has got some new art, and one thing we try to do is have a call for artists. So the exhibit's always changing, and you can view it on particlesonthewall.org, and we have a book. It's both a paperback book and also an electronic version, so you can see some of the exhibits and read some of the poems, look at some of the visual art, and explore some of the science and memorabilia.
Well, and we're lucky enough, of course, to have in studio that will bring us to Twyla, who is Twyla McCowell-Hay, who's in studio right now. And Maxine, tell us a little bit about what you went through to choose some of the artists writers that were a participant, and then we're going to turn to you, Twyla, and have you maybe recite one of your award-winning poem, only because she will be busy that night, and I'll tell you more about that in a moment.
So one part of the opening reception and this event of bringing Particles on the Wall is that for 5 years now, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility has held the Del Greenfield Peace Writing Contest, named after wonderful peace activist Del Greenfield. And the Peace Writing Contest is a chance. Each year it changes a little bit, but it's a chance for Oregon high school juniors and seniors to submit writing pieces. And this year, the The piece, the prompt that went with the piece relates, obviously, to Hanford to coincide with the exhibit. And so coinciding with the opening reception will be the awards ceremony for the three winners, Twyla being our first prize winner. We're really just so proud of the students. We had 58 entries from high schoolers all across Oregon. And so it was a great diverse group of pieces, any type of written expression. And I'll just read the prompt that we gave the students and then turn it over to Twyla. So the prompt that was given and that was then judged for the winning piece goes like this. The Hanford Nuclear Reservation on the Columbia River was a major nuclear weapons production facility. It is where the plutonium was developed for the atomic bomb dropped on Nagasaki and is now considered the most toxic site in the Western Hemisphere. Why does Hanford matter?
Wonderful. Well, Twyla, that's your cue, and we're going to hear from her, and she's going to recite her poem because she's the first place winner and because that evening she is going to be preoccupied and not able to read it herself because she is rehearsing with the Jefferson Dancers, and the Jefferson Dancers, this is a shout out to them, will be performing.
We will be performing May 1st through the 4th at the Newmark Theater at Portland Center for Performing Arts downtown. And we will have five shows at 7:30 in the evenings and two shows on Saturday, May 4th at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m.
And I didn't want to take away from this, but I do want her. She's a complete artist and has a multifaceted. And again, I'm glad to have you on board. And, of course, the Physicians for Social Responsibility are happy to have the youth involved to carry on the very important work. So now we're going to hear from you. And if you'd like to recite the poem, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so I wrote a poem called A Land Known for Its Beauty. A land known for its beauty, growing, changing, breathing, rich with life of natural wonders, flowing with the waters from which origins of species drank, consumed clean water, flooding the flourishing land, beautiful, plentiful. For millions of years, affluent with history, the same land our ancestors walked upon. Complicated and tangled with deep roots beneath the surface, home to our nation's natives, and the ones who came across the seas to thrive, a witness to tension, disease, war, two people meant to share the same land, fought for the claim, secrets brewed in the darkest parts of a man's mind, curious of the potential future. Top secret confusions stole the land, the public unsure of what lay ahead. Soon enough, establishments destroyed. The towns, the settlers blossomed out of nothing but hard work, gone in the blink of an eye. Isolated and changed for the worse, selfishness and greed brought Mother Gaia to her knees. Strategies to kill our fellow beings, our brothers and sisters across the gaping seas of salting waters. Not so far away they were, not so different. Yet we dropped our nation's secrets into their hands, only to blow apart the connective tissue of our land, this land, the land we grew from, only to leave behind nothing but shadows, a world brought to silence. This once preserved and bountiful earth, pumped full of the evils that were only man's darkest desires hide, leaking under the earth's crust, far beneath the surface, smothering the river's flow. Brought to a boil, radioactive, toxic, killed the dreams of a future full of lush, green, streaming life, destroying a product of nature, an element that was meant to be, plots kept in secret, even from the 50,000 working for a way to get by, not knowing the damage, tricked into believing they were doing good, testing became routine. Slowly leaking the radioactive poison into our Earth's bloodstream, a vein into the system. Beloved Columbia, all for plutonium, the element containing our safety, so they say. Pulled in to cool, released to destroy, helping build our nation stronger. We are supposed to love our country, right? Put our hands out in front and push when the going gets rough. But what about the secrets they pushed under the rug? Not knowing what our people have truly done, even the people in power, our heroes, our leaders, the ones holding our futures in their hands, ordering more, needing more, craving the cold metallic feel of power between their fingers, conquerors of death. And I thought they were in those positions to protect us, but only to destroy the land our ancestors lived from, the water they revolved life around, the land made inhabitable. Contaminated with the poison of power, thousands of helping hands to clean up the mess that our heroes left behind, preparing for a future, saving what little we can before it's too late. Years and years of dedication, striving to revive a land known for its beauty, the source of beauty of and life rolling in its waves.
Well, in a soundbite world, it is really nice and important to hear a thoughtful, creative voice.
Thank you.
And it's also very rare. Thousands of helping hands, as your poem says. That's what all the people involved in this are. Again, I want to remind our listeners that this was Twyla who was just reading her poem, and I'm speaking with Maxine Fuchsam and Stephen Gilbert by phone. Clearly the poem expresses all the feelings that you were thinking, but that is a very personal response. So were you connected to it personally before you read about it, or did you become informed and knowledgeable afterwards? Did you do some research? How did you come about writing it?
Well, I had heard about the contest through Chisao Hata, who was my dance teacher in elementary school. And I had heard about the contest and didn't really know much about Hanford or the site.
Yeah, that was that's because of your age and because of the lack of information that seems to be readily available until, like Maxine said, there's a catastrophe or another news warning. Did you then go in and do some research and find out?
Yeah, after I had read the prompt, I had done some research on it to learn more about the site. And I thought it was insane that it was so close to my home and so close to Oregon, and that I had never heard of it. And I just thought it was really interesting that that's something that's so close to home and that isn't talked about more and isn't taught more, especially in like Oregon schools. I don't know about Washington, but especially it's like Oregon and in our schools, it's so
the close proximity. I mean, the river that runs through it, you know, that this is where this is sustains life and gives us water and electricity and energy, and we couldn't exist without it, and that this very real and important issue isn't addressed.
Yeah, growing up in Oregon schools, the idea of saving the environment has always really been pushed for us and has made something that's become very important. And I don't know, reading about it and stuff, it was very shocking and mind-opening about that's so close to home and something that could be so dangerous and toxic to so many people and the land and the animals that live there. And so reading about it just kind of, I don't know, just hurt me a little bit. And
Did you discuss this evolution or involvement with any of your other friends or students?
I definitely talked about it with my family because they were around when I was researching it and learning about it and working on my poem. And I had told a couple friends at school about it and what was going on and going on with the Hanford site and what I was writing my poem about. And I mean, a lot of people that are my age, we've never heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to thank you for exploring that and taking the time to do some research, because the same problem here in Washington State, where Hanford is not taught and nuclear history is not taught. And we have enormous involvement in all things nuclear in the Northwest. And I want to remind people, too, that Chernobyl, today is the anniversary of the destruction of the Chernobyl nuclear plant. And so we've had numerous events, Fukushima being the latest one, that actually threw radiation from Japan over to our Northwest area.
Yeah. And
I really thank you for your work. And your poem is awesome. It's really beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful? It's just, like I said, it's so nice to hear in this truncated media indulged world some thoughtful, you know, evolving creativity. Well, Stephen, you must be, since you were involved from the inception, is this like what you received when you first proposed this? Is this the kind of writing and deep thought that you that had been part of Particles on the Wall?
Yes, we sought out different poets and asked them. And there's quite a body of literature around about Hanford and some other poets, and Nancy Dickman knew many of these. For example, Kathleen Flanagan, who's the poet laureate for Washington State right now, wrote a book called Plume that explored Hanford and things related to nuclear issues. So there's a rich body of essays and poetry, and we're always seeking new material, such as the poem we just heard, encouraging people to explore their Hanford, explore the involvement, explore the impact of Hanford on the Northwest. And same with the visual arts. There's a number of to develop different pieces related to Hanford, such as Site W, and there's Say B Reactor. So there's really creative body of literature there. And we worked hard to combine it with the science to help explore. Like the poem that was just read, there's a lot of science behind that, a lot of history and memorabilia. And I'm really astonished at the depth of knowledge that you've acquired about Hanford, because it's a very complex subject. It's got a lot of history, a lot of ins and outs, and a lot of areas that the government kept secret for a long time.
Yes, and she alludes to that secret brewed in the darkest parts of man's mind. Curious.
Very important part of what went on in Hanford with the secrets and the radiation releases that the public was not told about.
Yes, which also adds to the that it isn't just neutral that we don't know about it. There was attempts to subjugate or not allowed to find out.
Right. And one of the things I want to mention is part of this work has been supported by the Washington State Department of Ecology. And one thing we got in our grant was to explore the worldwide impacts of Hanford. So the plutonium from Hanford went all over the world, from Nagasaki, Japan, where it destroyed that city. It was tested in the Marshall Islands. Enormous number of weapons were set off outside of Las Vegas and Nevada. So Hanford is spread all over the place, as well as uranium mining. That was a tragic event for many Native Americans, and the worldwide mining of uranium was also part of Hanford's history.
Well, you as a toxicologist with extensive research in the neurological effects and of the environmental toxins must have been particularly troubled by all that you know.
Oh, yeah, it's very troubling. You know, the radioactive material, iodine-131, the cesium-137, and just a lot of radioactive, plus a number of chemicals that are used in extraction of plutonium and the production of the site.
Well, before we are going to be lucky enough to try to get Tacy Molly Rose Savage, the second place winner, on the phone shortly. But before we do, I want to remind our listeners that we are talking about Particles on the Wall, Art and Science Exploration of Hanford and the Nuclear Age. And I'm going to ask you, Maxine, to again give us the important and valuable information about the hosting of this event and the times and the date.
Sure. So the event, Particles on the Wall in Portland, sponsored by Oregon PSR, opens with the reception this coming a week from today, Friday, May 3rd. The reception is from 6 to 8. It's open to the public. I think it's going to be a really meaningful, wonderful reception with snacks and great some speakers, not a long program, just a chance to really interact with all the different pieces of the exhibit and with one another. So that's the opening reception on May 3rd from 6 to 8. And then the public exhibit will be at the EcoTrust building from May 3rd through June 14th. And again, the EcoTrust building's address is 721 Northwest 9th Avenue here in Portland. And the exhibit is on a beautiful second floor mezzanine gallery that will be open to the public during that whole time.
Yes, that's a wonderful contribution on their part, and duly titled the EcoTrust Building. I need to take a moment to remind our listeners that they are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. And in just a moment, we're going to be going to include another guest by phone, and her name is Tacy Molly Rose Savage. She's the second place winner of the 213 Greenfield Peace Writing Contest, of which you just heard Twyla. She's a senior at Mapleton High School in Mapleton, Oregon, and I'm going to have to ask where that is. And she lives in the town of Indiola, a tiny speck on the map inhabited by 40 individuals. So you can imagine we're just trying to get her by phone, and I think she's on. Welcome, Tacy.
Hello.
Hi, it's so nice to have you here. You were hired by the U.S. Forest Service this summer as a wildland firefighter. So are you out in the wilderness now?
Well, I guess you could sort of say that. Where I live normally is just a tiny sort of out in the boonies, you could say.
Well, with 40 individuals, I've never, I don't know where Indiola is. So tell us a little bit about growing up there.
All right. Well, it's sort of out by the Eugene area, just a little bit more south, and very tiny, not a whole lot to do, but beautiful area. Tons of trees, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Well, this must have informed your participation in the Particles on the Wall exhibit. So first of all, how did you hear about it? I'm really curious from where you were.
Well, I was on the internet and I was looking at scholarships. I came across it and it just seemed very interesting to me, so I just sort of went for it.
Well, great. So that's an interesting way to be connected when, like you say, you're out in the woods and a long ways away, and you've been accepted to Oregon State University College of Forestry in Corvallis to carry
yes,
on your
I have.
Work. Well, I'm very excited, you know, for you to be able to contribute with us. And you wrote a very lengthy and in-depth piece. So tell us how you came to your research and a little bit of the background for your piece of writing.
Well, I started to talk to my mom about it a little bit, and she had told me that she had a little bit of knowledge of the fact that, I guess, people used to go fishing, and they would find fish that actually had some health issues due to Hanford. And after that, I went and used the old Google and researched it quite a bit.
Yes. Well, Stephen can attest to the fact that that is probably an accurate and important piece of information right there.
You know, we have a big website called the Washington Nuclear Museum and Education Center, where we've tried to put a lot of material about Hanford and explore various aspects of Hanford, as well as interviews from people that lived in Richland and were involved in the Hanford area.
Steve, am I right that if somebody wants to research it more, they can go to Particles on the Wall and link to some of that information?
Yep. Yes.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and just to remind people again, that Particles on the Wall is a free ebook. You can download that book. And we have a lot of other material on our websites. There's a book called Small Dose of Toxicology. It has a chapter on radiation if you want to explore a little bit more about the health effects of radiation. And our WAMNEC website, the big website, has got a lot of information about the history of Hanford and sections about radiation health effects.
Yes. Well, and I wanted to say to Tacy that although you live 395 miles from Hanford, you said that one of the problems with Hanford is its immensity, with 117 underground tanks located on 560 square miles. You probably have a better idea, since your chosen field and where you live, about truly how big that is, but that informed a lot of your piece.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You know, the size and the scope of both the damage and the actual physical structure. Here you are saying you're surrounded by acres and acres, if not miles, of trees, and then you're envisioning, I assume, what that must look like in Hanford when it's nuclear waste plants.
Yeah, it's absolutely immense, and it really just sort of blows my mind.
You know, it's possible to go visit Hanford. I would encourage people to do that. The Department of Energy conducts tours of the site you can sign up for, and it is a really astonishing trip to drive through there and see the sites for the 9 reactors are all shut down, except there is one nuclear power generating station up there, the Columbia Generating Station, so actually still generating nuclear waste on the Hanford site. But you can also visit the B reactor, the first nuclear reactor that produced the plutonium to drop on Nagasaki. But I'd really encourage people to go visit it. It's a life-changing experience to drive through Hanford, be shown what went on at Hanford.
Yes, hence the reason it's not generally on the map of what you would say, what you would think would be a field trip exploration. I think it might be life-altering.
You know, one of the comments that I want to make is that I feel like I, in the back of my mind, knew about Hanford a little bit. But like Twyla said, it's kind of right here near us, or, you know,
not
395 miles away from us. And when I saw the Particles on the Wall book that has the compilation of the exhibit, it really blew me away. Because like Stephen said about taking a trip there, if you can't do that, I think seeing Particles on the Wall, it truly is bringing together particles on the wall. I think our writing samples show that coming from poetry, from scientific essays, the art in the exhibit, it's very, very powerful. When you see it, you feel like, oh my gosh, this is right here, and it impacts our culture, our environment, our political statements. It really impacts everything about life in the Northwest.
Well, as you say, when I'm speaking to Tacy and I'm thinking about her living among trees in a forested area, and I can't imagine the juxtaposition of that to growing out of the ground, figuratively, tanks of toxic material, that rather than the roots going into the ground and providing that kind of nutrient and life, exactly the very opposite of that. Tacy, you also talked about, to start with, that we should understand the nature of nuclear waste and how it functions. You added to a real scientific kind of overlay and a bent. So what did you come away with knowing and finding out about that?
Well, I just really learned that the nuclear waste, it degenerates over time, and it can really negatively affect the health of everybody and a lot of our living organisms and everything like that. And it's just really not clean, just in the terms of our environment as well as some of our moral standings of how we get our energy and stuff like that.
Well, and you also comment, and Twyla and Maxine and Stephen as well can comment on this. Everyone agrees that something needs to be done, but that, and Stephen, you referenced this earlier, it's complicated. The solution isn't easy to come up with. You know, the cleanup is one thing. I've heard the word around Hanford more often used as containment. Do you want to talk a moment about that?
So the containment, that's one strategy. I think the biggest thing, the biggest struggle at Hanford is containing the waste that's in those tanks. So the waste in the tanks is a very complicated mixture of radionucleotides as well as different chemicals. And their solution up till now has been to vitrify this material. So they want to mix and basically make glass logs out of it. So they have a complex process of basically heating up sand, making glass, and then injecting this waste from the tanks into this glass material to stabilize it so it can't move into the Columbia River. Because right now, the leaking tanks, not far from the Columbia River, that material can end up in the Columbia River and down near Portland and into Oregon. So the idea is to do that, but it's been very complicated. The plant is a decade behind schedule, billions of dollars overrun. And in the last couple years, there's been a number of whistleblowers that have pointed out some real safety hazards with the tank and concerns about generation of hydrogen gas, for example, that could generate a big explosion, similar to what happened at Fukushima, because hydrogen is a byproduct of a lot of the reactions that are occurring. So it's really tough. I think the other thing that happened to Hanford was they were very careless when the first plutonium production was in process, and they just dumped a lot of this material into open trenches. So they've got sites on Hanford that are not well characterized, that are still dealing with. So it's very complex, and we've had this business of cutting back money, like the sequester, for example, has cut back money going to Hanford. And I really think we have an obligation as to protect and clean up Hanford for future generations and allow the Native Americans and other people to access to the land to protect the salmon and the wildlife that's in that area. So it's going to take a long time, and I think this essay contest, for example, is very important because future generations are going to inherit Hanford, mm-hmm. and we need to be vigilant about making sure that we do clean that area up.
Well, Twyla so beautifully wrote in her poem, thousands of helping hands. That's what it'll require. Yes, like you said, these are the jobs that are needed. This is the public works project that we should all be lobbying for. Yeah. This will directly help and create a future. So that is one thing that we can do, is that we can, you know, constantly put political pressure to say, these are the jobs that we want. This is what we want funded with our tax dollars. This is how we want to spend our energy. So, Maxine, again, I want you to take a moment and remind our listeners about the entirety of the project and the specifics of the event.
Sure. So the exhibit that we're talking about is called Particles on the Wall: Art and Science Exploration of Hanford and the Nuclear Age. And it's a multidisciplinary showing that includes visual art, written art, scientific literature, historical artifacts. It's an amazing and powerful exhibit. Coming here to Portland, sponsored by Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, the opening reception will be a week from today, Friday, May 3rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. The exhibit will run. It will be held, will stay open to the public. Everything's open and free to the public from May 3rd through June 14th. And the opening reception and the exhibit for the whole time is at the Eco Trust Building, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in the Pearl District in Portland, on the second floor mezzanine gallery in the halls beyond the mezzanine.
All right. Well, Tacy, while we have you on the line, I want to explore a little more about how you came to, other than your beautiful surroundings and the homegrown girl, how you came to your appreciation of the environment, and kind of how you see your role in the coming future in college.
Well, I think one thing that influenced me quite a bit was just going out and going camping with my family. My brother and my mom, they would take me camping when I was younger. And one thing that they always taught me when we went camping was, you always leave the campsite cleaner than how you found it. And that's something that really started to stick with me. And from then on, I realized that, you know, trees, they are beautiful and they are amazing and they give so much life to everybody, and they have so much to offer. And it's really our job, and it's going to be my job, to help protect the trees so that we can protect the rest of life and so that they're there for future generations.
Well, there's a mission. We are so glad to have you not only on KBOO, but on in the world and doing the work you're doing. I'm encouraged, and it always is a wonderful moment to talk with Twyla and you, and we're going to talk with Jordan in just a moment. I want to say thank you, Tacy. Thanks for being with us at KBOO. We're going to let you go in just a moment, but thanks for all your energy, effort, and work in the world. Keep in touch with us and let us know.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being with us.
All right.
Now, I need to let listeners know that you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and we are now going to go to another contestant. He is Jordan Ostrom. He was the third place winner, and he's an 18-year-old senior at Newport High School. He's the president of his school's Gay Straight Alliance and the Drama Club, and he hopes to attend Sarah Lawrence College and become a high school Spanish teacher. He says that his greatest passion is expressing important ideas about acceptance through his artistic endeavors, and we're going to have him on the phone shortly to explain what his contribution was. So I think we are ready to go. Are you there, Jordan?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, well, it's wonderful. In reading about you, first of all, there's a wonderful poem that you are going to be at the opening night ceremonies, I assume, maybe this Friday, if you're going to be able to make it into Portland, I mean, coming Friday?
Yes, I will be able to make it.
Oh, great. Well, all of you have done, I mean, you know, it's just been a fascinating and wonderful roundtable about having all of your contributions. So tell us, Jordan, a little bit about, first of all, how you found out about the contest and kind of what precipitated your writing.
Well, we have a great program at my high school called the Aspire Center, and it helps high school seniors find out about scholarships like this. And that's how I learned about the contest. And it seemed like an important thing to write about because a lot of environmental issues, it seems to me, have kind of gone by the wayside over the past few years. But I think it's still important to pay attention to these issues. And so that's what led me to enter the contest.
Yes, well, it is the important issues in the future because it is the future.
Right.
As Twyla here said, the thousands of helping hands to clean up the mess that our heroes left behind, preparing for a future, saving what little we can before it's too late. That's the important call and message that all of you have expressed in your writing. So yours was called Weapon. So you actually, in your poem, broke it down yes, it was the environmental, but it was also to the physicians of social responsibility. It was also to the point of weaponry and war that I thought was really fascinating and interesting. So maybe if you could, or if you have the poem with you, or I do if you don't.
I don't have the poem
okay.
with me, actually.
Well, then I'm going to read this just one section. War.
Okay.
Blooms like a black flower, pungent and acrid, human beings still have not learned to not kill other human beings. Pools of blood curdle and boil over. Our own atrocities are unceremoniously, unquestionably justified. They pale in comparison to theirs. We tell ourselves day and night. So it was an interesting take. Twyla took a very ancient and ongoing plea and environmental and cultural overview. And then our second guest, Tacy, took a very scientific and nuanced look at the science and the health benefits, and then you took and wrote the poem Weapon. So tell us about how you came to that as what you wrote as the mission of Hansford.
Well, I've been taking a lot of higher-level history classes at my high school. We have the IB program here, and I've really learned how in wartime, all the people are guilty of crimes against humanity. And just because one side is the victor doesn't mean that they committed any less atrocities. And I've also, we've talked about how science itself is amoral, but due to the failures of humanity, we often tend to commit atrocities with the newfound sciences. And so that's the angle that I took the poem with, is that the nucleonics and nuclear technology was founded by these people like Marie Curie and other scientists that really just had a passion for learning. But then due to the war, like World War II, it was really mutilated into ugly technology that was used not only to kill thousands of people at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but to decimate the environment here in Oregon.
Wow. Well, Stephen, I bet you can talk a little bit about or to that, because you all, you know, as a Physicians for Social Responsibility, both Washington and nationally, this was kind of, I would assume, the jump-off point for your involvement.
Yes, we had the Traditions for Social Responsibility has a long history of anti-nuclear and trying to reduce the number of nuclear weapons in the world. And just to remind people, Bangor Submarine Base in Bremerton, Washington, has one of the largest concentration of nuclear weapons in the world. As the subs go in and out there, the submarines are one of the most lethal weapons ever developed. One submarine could decimate the world, has enough nuclear power, nuclear weapons to destroy the world. And we have, around the world right now, we have conflicts. If there was just a report done, if India and Pakistan exchanged nuclear weapons, it would produce a global famine that could kill billions of people because of the dust that would kick up and the sort of darkness that would ensue after that. So nuclear weapons are alive and well, unfortunately, and I think we need to do more work in the United States to reduce the number of nuclear weapons we have, reduce the hair trigger alerts, and really it's, it really is a issue for humanity for the ages. And I think I really admire Obama and others that have worked to try to reduce the number of nuclear weapons. But I think the weapons angle is really important. We should not forget that, and we should also remember the weapons that were tested. If you look out, you go outside of Las Vegas there, there's over 1,000 nuclear weapons that were detonated in Las Vegas or outside of Las Vegas in Nevada, as well as the Marshall Islands, and many people's lives that have been destroyed and disrupted by nuclear weapons. It's still astonishing.
Yes. Well, like I said, that was an interesting take to have all of the different contributors to the event take a different tack. And Jordan, for you to be able to see the powerful and important connection to weapons and to war as being the part of Hanford that that informed you. Before we move to wrapping up, is there something that you'd like to say to your fellow students and the people that are listening while you have the opportunity about your involvement, your research, and what you kind of found out about Hanford and its impact on the weapons of war?
Well, I'm sure this is already brought up, but the fact that it's now considered the most toxic site in the Western Hemisphere, that was really shocking to me because I tend to think of Oregon as really environmentally friendly. But the fact that we're still having consequences from this site that was decades ago was just a really powerful fact that stuck with me.
Yes, well, and that was one of the things that Twyla and our other guests were talking about, is that for something that is going to impact not just the immediate future, but the generations to come, you will be part of the legacy of how this goes. It is, it has been surprisingly understated or misunderstood or covered, you know, it just has not been on the radar screen, excuse the pun, for understanding this huge, impactful piece that is in our literally backyard.
You know, I want to take a moment to thank all the students that participate in the contest. You know, judging the students and awarding and trying to rank them 1, 2, 3, 4 was extremely difficult. And I think all the students really, I admire them all for taking the time to do some research into Hanford and to express their views about this. It was really, really gratifying to see this work that the students put in to address this issue, both in essays and poetry.
Well, yes, I mean, Stephen, and, you know, a personal thanks will go out at the end for just the contribution to the KBOO listening audience, to our place in the planet and the world, and just how hopeful and grateful we all feel when people at that age become informed and involved, because, you know, for all of us on the opposite, on the downhill side, this is work that needs to be done. Again, Maxine, I'm going to let our listeners know that you have been listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, and I'm going to allow her to give us, again, the update on both the exhibit and the coming event.
So the event and exhibit is called Particles on the Wall. It's a multidisciplinary exhibit that explores the impact of Hanford Nuclear Reservation on all of us, on our environment, on our place. And that, in conjunction with the Greenfield Peace Writing Contest, will be opening with a reception this coming Friday, a week from today, May 3rd. The reception is from 6 to 8. It's free and open to the public. And the exhibit will also hang and run from May 3rd through June 14th. All of this at the Eco Trust Building, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue, Portland, in the Pearl. Please come. The exhibit is so powerful. And our opening reception next Friday will honor just the amazing students that contributed. We're really very honored by them. Inspired by them.
Yeah, inspired by them is a really good choice. Now, Twyla, before we go out on your note, I want to, again, talk to you a little bit, being the first place winner, and talk about how, when you go forward into your next adventure, how you think that this will inform your participation in the future, or, you know, I know that being multiple disciplinary artist, dance, she's with the Jefferson Dancers folks, and all the other things. But I wonder if this will be something that you carry with you, or encourage the people below you or around you to become involved with or inspire.
Well, that's something I've definitely been thinking a lot about recently, and I don't know, the environment has been something that's always been so important to me, and the city and the state that I grow up in and the region I'm a part of. And I don't know, hearing about something like this that is so close to home, it makes me really want to, like, think about what's really going on in my region of the country, and just the effects that things like this have on the environment. And I mean, nature is such a beautiful thing, and it's something that we're all immersed in every day. And the fact that people don't really care about it, or have just so easily destroyed it over time, is just such a disgusting thing. And I think we need to really work harder on restoring it and
taking care of it.
Yeah, and taking care of it and preventing things like this from happening in the future. And I think that's something that I'm definitely passionate about, since it's something that's been talked, well, not Hanford specifically, but the environment has been something that's been talked about so much to me over my growing up and my school experience.
So what gives you hope when you look toward the future? What are some signs that this is something that will be managed, handled, or at least addressed?
Well, being here today and hearing from the other contestants in the contest, and knowing that there are other people that are my age out there, and not just in Portland, but around Oregon as well, that care about this topic and care about Hanford and the environmental impacts it's having, and then hearing about the Oregon PSR and that organization on a national and international level, too, gives me hope that there are people that really do care about what is going on and what's happening to our environment and the world in general.
Wow. That's a wonderful testimony, and I hope you make KBOO part of your future. We've only got a few minutes left, and Stephen, I'd like to hear from you and hear if there's any last minute or thoughts that you'd have regarding this really important issue and your responsibility to the Physicians for Social Responsibility in general.
Well, I think my thought would be that I think we put this exhibit together to really explore the arts and sciences, and to unite the arts and sciences to create a more healthy and peaceful world. And that's really what Physicians for Social Responsibility is all about. We have other programs on toxics and global warming. But I think the nuclear age is something we need to continue to pay attention to, and both from an environmental standpoint, but also from a nuclear weapons standpoint. So I think that we've got to invest our time and resources and support nonprofit organizations that are working on these issues, because this is some of the only people working on these issues are involved in nonprofit organizations, and they need their support both financially and time-wise. So I urge people to get involved, talk to their legislative folks, make this an issue for the legislative people, both at the state level and the federal level, that Hanford has to be cleaned up. We must reduce the number of nuclear weapons we have and create a more peaceful world that is not subject to such violence of nuclear radiation and nuclear weapons.
Yes, well, I'm hoping that we get to hear from you when it's not over something like Fukushima or some, leaking in the Hanford. I'm happy to be able to hear from you in the context of this very hopeful particles on the wall exploration of the Hanford and its position in the world. I want to thank you for being with us. I want to take a quick moment and give Maxine the floor, the Maxine Fukushima the floor, to again remind our listeners briefly, and then we will have a moment to go out.
Again, I think Steve just said it so perfectly. Particles on the Wall is the exhibit that we're talking about, and it really gives people a chance when you see it to enter into what is Hanford. What is Hanford for us? And the exhibit is coming to Portland with an opening reception a week from today, Friday, May 3rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. The exhibit will also run from May 3rd through June 14th, so open to the public, free. Please come to see it. It will inspire you. It will shock you. It will make you an activist at the Eco Trust Building, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland.
So I want to quickly thank Maxine Fukushima, Twyla McCall-Hay, by phone Stephen Gilbert, by phone Tacy Molly Rose Savage, and also Jordan Ostrom for all of their contribution. I want to take 1 minute and let's go out with Twyla reading from the end of her poem.
All right. Thousands of helping hands to clean up the mess that our heroes left behind, preparing for a future, saving what little we can before it's too late. Years and years of dedication, striving to revive a land known for its beauty, the source of beauty and life rolling in its waves.
That's the mission. And again, I want to thank our listeners for their support and ask that everyone take this very important issue to heart. This is KBOO 90.7 FM Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 10 o'clock of the a.m. Coming up, hear Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre, followed at 10:15 with Flashpoints, featuring an interview with Charlie Kernaghan of the National Labor Committee and on the growing death toll in Bangladesh. We'll also hear from Kathy Kelly about her visit to the Bush Library opening celebration in Dallas and her upcoming trip to Afghanistan. At 11 on the Radio Zine, host Don Merrill speaks with local author and KBOO volunteer Ren Green about her memoir, A Very Long Story About Karma That Will Probably Make Me Cry, which chronicles her very interesting ride through many of the school systems in the Western Hemisphere as a child and as a parent. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. Stay tuned.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, April 26, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. All right, it's Friday, and here's the quote for the day. If we do not save the environment, whatever we do in civil rights or the war on poverty will be of no meaning, because then we will have the equality of extinction. And that's a quote from civil rights activist James Farmer. Here, close to home in Cascadia, the feds are making the rounds once again, knocking on northwest doors. But, of course, it could always be so much worse. Syria and the rest of the world are confronting that red line running straight to Tel Aviv. And this first, however, from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, highs 75 to 80, light winds, and tonight, well, did you get that? 75 to 80. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows 45 to 50. Of course, a bit cooler in rural outlying areas. We could get some light winds, of course. Saturday, partly cloudy skies, highs 65 to 70, and a west wind 5 to 10. Moving along into Saturday night, as the day disappears into its event horizon, clouds begin to fill the night sky, perhaps a bit of rain in places and in late hours, lows around 50. Sunday, we could get some rain on Sunday, but starting out in the morning with gray skies. Then partly sunny, clears up in the afternoon, highs around 65. And Sunday night, chance of rain in the evening. Rain's likely after midnight, lows once again, holding steady in that 45 to 50 zone. And that's it for the Weather Service, and bringing us full circle to Monday morning. The alternative forecast, the mostly fulsome flower moon in Libra is 15 days old. Cyanotic forecast, it's a good time for root vegetables. Also berries, bulbs, onions, and biennials. Don't forget that we're on a waning moon. We're heading into a waning moon now. So if you are serious lunar forecast, a serious lunar farmer, then you might be cautious about that. The biodynamic forecast moon in Libra, it's an air sign, a good time to sow flowering plants. The sidereal forecast of the moon in Libra, it's a good time for green manures or cover crops. There's a new one out there too. It's a type of mustard. You might want to try it. That's it. Moving straight into news from around the region. I spoke yesterday with Lisa Agabian. She's a senior